It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
And as always, great to have you with us on 98.9 FM and also all of our Golden Knights digital media channels, as well as we come to you live from Studio 31, downtown Summerlin at City National Arena. Dave Gosher and Shane Knighty, and glad that you could join us here on the radio and on the social medias as the Golden Knights in the middle of a three-game homestand that got started on a good note with a win last night against the last two defending Stanley Cup champs, Florida Panthers and the Golden Knights. Shane, we should say right off the bat, if you've got any questions for us, send them to – they send them to the Twitters or the X's? Well, yeah, the X.
I don't know if you need to add an S.
Yeah, whatever it is. Sure. Send them over YouTube. To the Golden Knights, the YouTubes. send them on over, and we'll get to them later on in the show. Just whatever is percolating in your brain today. Golden Knights head coach Bruce Cassidy is going to join us here in a matter of minutes. So a great way to start the show with the head coach of the VGK. And, good to have him in here today, Shane, because the team's coming off
a
real good
win today. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and you mentioned the two. You're playing the defending champions in the Florida Panthers, and kind of go over elements of the game that the coach was, you know, kind of talking about. They needed to be better. He wanted to see, you know, certainly, you know, it was never always on one person. It was kind of collectively his team. So goaltending, defending, offense, even strength. Can they get to that point in their game? And I thought that was a good team to play when you're testing all those elements, right? You got some saves, huge saves from Aiden Hill, a big one early on Reinhardt. That keeps you in the game, timely save. And they're a team that goes to the front of the net, cleaning that area in front of your net defensively. Another test for them where they needed to get better, and they were. And then getting some even strength goals, some depth scoring. So a lot of boxes checked for the Golden Knights in that win, and hopefully that's the type of win now that can kind of move you forward and start to snowball in the right direction.
You know, and that's the big question now, and we'll talk to Bruce about this, is can they build on it? You know, this is a team that, if you look back at just the week that was, they had a good win in St. Louis, the front half of the back-to-backs, the St. Louis-Dallas trip. Then they go to Dallas and really couldn't replicate it. The game kind of got away in the second period with a couple of goals quickly for the Stars. So, you know, you've got tomorrow here against Dallas and then Thursday against Columbus before a trip out east heading into the Four Nations. So, you know, it's a team, Shane, now. They won three in a row earlier this month. So Philly, Buffalo, San Jose, last time they put together back-to-back wins, that was in a three-game winning streak. But, you know, can they take another positive step forward tomorrow night now?
Well, absolutely. Against Dallas, a team that, you know, there's a bit of rivalry, obviously meeting them in the playoffs. So, and for that pocket of 8 to 10 minutes in the second, they weren't good in Dallas. The way they played in that third is hopefully in the memory bank, and that's the way they come out and attack the Stars here on tomorrow night. Is that tomorrow? Yeah, Tuesday.
Tomorrow, Shane.
Tuesday.
Tomorrow's
Tuesday. And then you got a team in Columbus, and that, maybe that's the other positive about playing the Panthers. They have had their issues playing the East, so pick up the win against the Panthers. See another Eastern team in the Columbus Blue Jackets who have been a terrific story this year with the devastation they dealt with early on, and nobody really saw them kind of being in the picture, but they're right there in playoffs, not far out of the, you know, the line to get in, and kind of a surprise team this year. So the Golden Knights, a couple of tough tests at home here before heading out on the road, and then obviously the Four Nations break.
It's every other day, really, for the Golden Knights. And the team's going to play here Thursday against Columbus. They're going to travel Friday out east, get a day to get acclimated to the time change, and then that trip, Rangers, Islanders, Devils, Bruins. So it's every other day once they get on that trip.
And I will say, this is it's the one unique trip of the year, right? So, you know, normally the Golden Knights, when you're going on a road trip, say they did the one earlier, it was a Washington, Tampa, Florida. You're playing, flying, playing, flying. Well, the New York, you're able to settle in to a hotel room for the whole time.
Yeah.
And play those three teams, and just it's kind of more of a home atmosphere in the sense of travel. So that should allow the rest, the recovery, all those things a little bit more, and then allow the guys to get together. They always enjoy that time on the road when you're as a group all the time.
You know, they built, the Golden Knights did, Shane, this big cushion, right? They were the best team in the league for 6 weeks. They were, whatever the numbers we had, 17-3-1 through 21 games. They won 9 out of 10. If you go back to January the 7th, they were the number one team in the NHL. And then with you had the two New York teams come in, the Islanders and the Rangers, and that's when it started kind of the stretch where going into last night, they had lost 7 out of 9. But the good news is they had built up such a cushion that, you know, we talked about this for whatever reason. I don't have a theory. I'd be happy to listen to one. January has been a month of struggle for them over the years, not even just Bruce Cassidy's time, but even before that. But let's just limit it to Bruce because, you know, it's the most recent picture we have. A couple of years ago, they were able to get out of it right after the All-Star. After it was the All-Star break last year, 2 years ago. Last year, they never really did. You know, and they ended up as the second wild card team. So to be able to kind of push through this, you played a long time. No team goes through a stretch, goes through a season without some lull, and hopefully they're on the backside of it now.
And it's a matter of turning around quickly. That's what good teams do. And this one maybe went probably longer than they would have liked. But and you mentioned that 6 weeks where they were dominant. That's just not sustainable in a league like this. It's great to have that, and that allows you – to kind of work through these time periods when things aren't going. But, yeah, it's about them turning around. That's why I really liked, I liked St. Louis, but the test against the Florida Panthers and the way they played in that game, to me, speaks more of like a turnaround. All right, we're getting back to our game. I liked what Jack Eichel said after the Dallas Stars games where he addressed. He said, it's in this room. Nobody's going to help us.
Right.
Said, they're still targets each and every night. Teams get up to play the Golden Knights. They're considered one of their top echelon teams. You're going to get the best from teams, from opponents, and you can't afford to just think you're going to, tonight it'll be an easy one. You know, there's no easy games any night against any opponent, and sometimes the best way to reaffirm that is to go through a bit of a slide, and then, all right, now, and it's a veteran room, They're in there, and they can self-diagnose. They're self-aware of, okay, it's time for us to step up. And, it doesn't happen immediately. There's steps involved with it, but you're certainly hoping that was a big step forward against the Panthers.
You know, and if you look at it too, Shane, and there's never, that when the head coach is here, he'd be the last one to ever make any excuses. But you look at where the Golden Knights were, say, just a couple of weeks ago where they were atop the league. And, then they're taking on teams that – they're either trying like heck to get into the top eight in the East or the West, or they're in it and trying to improve their positioning. And I'm talking about the Islanders. They got a little ways to go, right? The Rangers came in here. They had – talk about a dip. They had lost 15 of 19 all in regulation. Minnesota came in. The Golden Knights had a good win over them. They go on that road trip. I don't know if Nashville can recover, right, from this horrible start. It doesn't look promising, right? Carolina's a good team in the East. And
they got better.
And they just got better, but they made a trade of some significance here recently.
Yeah.
The Chicago one would be one that would probably stick in their craw a little bit, right? That's a tough one where you're back-to-back. You play the night before in Carolina, go back-to-back to Chicago, and it got away. There was a little bit of a trend there.
It's a tough one,
goals
right?
Late in periods, right?
Yeah, and that's one you're looking to stand as the last-place team, Credit to them, they're going to work hard, and that's where it goes back to what we're talking about. Each and every night, you've got to be prepared because anyone can win. You see it around the league. Some teams don't do it as much, but they're still going to come out and compete hard. So you've got to have that battle-ready attitude to each and every time. And we should talk about it. January, in a season like this with the condensed because of the Four Nations, I almost see it around the league right now. The games aren't as clean or as crisp. And we can act people more – more intelligent than us on that matter, but
low bar.
It seems like it coming out of that Christmas break, and all right, there's a little bit of energy in that, and then all of a sudden, here we go. And January to me was always my toughest month to play for whatever reason. I don't know, and then because usually you'd have the All-Star break, and that's a little bit of a breather, and then after that, it's kind of everybody turns it up a notch. You're starting that stretch run to playoffs, and then comes the trade deadline, and then that's another level of elevation.
Yeah, the Golden Knights, if you look at it, and it's not going to get different next year with the Olympics.
No. I mean,
same deal. Is it going to be All-Star game and Olympics next year?
That's
the
rumor.
The double dip situation. So cramming all these games in, everyone's in the same boat. The Golden Knights actually was released yesterday. Alex Pietrangelo will not go to the Four Nations representing Team Canada, dealing with an ailment. He's going to have some time to rest and recuperate. We'll see about William Karlsson. He's week to week. He may not be able to go and play for Team Sweden. So they had seven players. Now it's down to six, maybe down to five. Of course, Bruce Cassidy will be on the coaching staff for Team Canada. So as much as it's an honor for these guys to be selected to play, there's the other side of that coin. Boy, you get a chance for your body to rest and recuperate, especially with Pietrangelo and Karlsson, who are dealing with things, obviously.
And it'll be interesting in the next couple of weeks up to it. Well, we see a few more of those where, Because when it comes down to, yeah, they want to represent their country. They want to play four nations. But for teams that are in the hunt and in that scenario, the Stanley Cup's still the ultimate prize. And that's what they want to be ready for.
And that's always the, you know, that's always the
debate.
It's always the debate, and it's always the question mark with these sorts of events. And we've seen this in years past. I mean, way back, you know, I remember Dominik Hasha getting hurt the first game of the tournament for point, the Czech Republic, in the Olympics. And he was in, I think he was playing for Ottawa at the time. And they were not happy.
No, they wouldn't be.
To say the least. This is live radio and TV. We have Bruce Cassidy, the head coach of your Golden Knights. If you can see on the streams, he's in the house, and he's going to throw on the headset here, and we're going to have a little chat for the next hour. Or for the next few minutes.
I don't think Bruce is aware of that.
No, we'll only burden him for a few minutes. But can you hear us okay?
I can.
For better or worse, you can hear us. Okay.
This apparatus.
Yeah, the apparatus. And
between my...
You all set?
Oh, this is, yeah. You good? Darren Millard sets all this
usually
stuff up.
Usually it's a stupid like setup.
We'll move some stuff around.
He left his snacks here.
Yeah,
his
cheese, some pretzels down there. And
Fairytale Sprites, interesting.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, we said we're always happy to have you on, maybe even more so after a good win for the team last night. You're always very accommodating, but we figured your mood might be a little better today. How was your mood last night after a good win over a good team?
Mood was good. Mood was good. Played better. Found our game and got our Nick Waugh's line going a little bit, which is important for us. It's, you know, those are guys that send the identity of our team, and so when they're on, it makes it that much better for a coach. You know, your skill guys, you need them to win, but when those guys come through, and liked Howie in the middle, I thought Ronberg had a good game, so the guys in the kind of bottom of the order did a good job for us.
We were just talking. I thought kind of checked a lot of boxes. You're talking about you guys wanted some timely saves. You needed to clear the front of the net, and maybe the Panthers were the right team to play to challenge you in that area. But I you can answer on that. And I also want to ask, you made the little switch, the Holtz and Stone on the right lines. And I know you got instinct, but it really paid off. I think the first shift, Stone had a chance, then Holtz drew a penalty.
Yeah, the net front is important for us. We have Big D. And teams know that if they're going to beat us, they got to be willing to venture in there. We're not that easy to beat one-on-one. We're long, so pretty good rush team. And Dallas did.
Yeah.
And they did, and we didn't take care of business there. So good on us to respond because we got Dallas coming in tomorrow, and we'll see more of that. So I was happy for the guys. I really liked the third goal, how we took care of net front, neutralized their guys. We had guys... forwards coming in to collect the puck after the D did their job, then we transition and score. And that's our game. That's when we're at our best. The whole switch and Stone was more about, I thought Barkov early on had the better Jack's line. Now, Jack's always going to get his game in order, and he did. Obviously, scored a huge goal. So we just decided to, I decided to use Howie and Ronnie because they're our two freshest guys, to be honest with you. Ronnie was just called up. He can skate. That's his responsibility is to check, and Howie was sick and missed time, but so he ends up missing a few games, gets some rest, now he's back, so he had the juice, so I figured, okay, we'll get guys with legs, and Stoney played with Howie a lot, so the Holtz and Stoney switch was just to give them a, you know, more responsible, I guess. Stoney's ahead of Holtz in that regard, so that's your matchup, and then Holtz gets a little turn with Jack maybe gets him going offensively and sees more touches, et cetera. So it happened to work out. We'll see what we look like tomorrow. But I like the job Howie did and Ronnie and checked well. Jack, obviously, Barbie, made a great play to extend the lead. So in a game like that, that's important. It's going to be hard to play from behind. Both teams' fourth game of the week, so usually if you're behind, it's a tough one.
So a game like last night, it's a little earlier start. You play at 5, and, you know, we see you obviously – on the road after a game, we get on the plane and the coaches have the laptops out. And after a game like last night, we're here at home. What does the head coach do? Does he go home? Does he have a glass of red? Does he watch highlights? Does he throw on the fly? Does he watch ESPN? What's he do?
Last night, went home a little earlier, right? So it's 9 o'clock. Yeah. So usually you're going home and you're getting to bed fairly quickly. So I opened the computer, started watching some of it, try to get a little bit ahead. Not a lot. You know, check in with the kids. Cole was at the game with his buddies, some of his hockey buddies, so they saw a good one. Shannon, my 15-year-old daughter, I see her every 3 days or so. It's good, good to catch up.
Has she moved out? That seems like an odd age.
She's always at dinner, at this one's party, or a sleepover with her girlfriend. So so that's first. I walked the dog, actually, because I hadn't been out all day.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need to get some fresh air, even though it was cold. And then, you know what I did? I watched SNL. I'm an SNL fan.
Oh, yeah.
So I like to do it when I can relax and laugh. And it was a good show, another good one. So the computer didn't get opened for much. No red wine last night. Just kind of quiet. Okay.
Did you watch the NFL highlights?
At the rink, we had the game on between. So we saw a lot of the Eagles win. Didn't see much of the. We saw the start of the Chiefs game, but I guess we missed a really good finish.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up. They're talking now about putting something in the ball, like the track, because they thought Allen hit the fourth.
I did see that replay. It looked like he had the first down, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough one, those spots, especially now with this kind of push where there's a massive humanity. Mm-hmm. I think you're onto something there. Maybe technology.
Well, I heard it on the radio today. Yeah. Listening to a show, somebody mentioned it. But it made me. So I was telling Dave. It made me start thinking. I was going to ask Bruce an off-the-topic question. I think, you never want to change too many rules in hockey. But I always wondered, especially because it's happened lately, should they change? You know, late goal. Should it be like basketball, off the stick rather than across the line?
Well, I mean, if you want to increase scoring, that's a way to maybe add. Well, Pav would have two more goals.
He'd have two more goals.
And almost a third last night. I was like, this can't happen again. The second period, the same end at home in the same month, I believe. So, that would be interesting.
That's a random thought. Yeah, I'm going to ask Bruce. The basketball, the buzzer beaters. Right? Yeah. It'd be cool to add that element to hockey.
As long as the ball's released.
Was it always that way, or did they change it?
As long as I can remember, it's been... As long as the ball's in the air, off your fingertips before the zeros hit, yeah.
Because that'd be harder to monitor. You'd have to go back, right, with replay.
Yeah.
Because, usually the light, right, is the indicator for me. You see the green light go on, puck's not.
I mean, you guys, there was a time, obviously, there was no video replay in hockey. Are you okay with it now? Is there too much? Is it? Do you get too much into the minutiae of it, or are we in a good spot, do you think?
I think it's decent. I think I had this conversation once. There was like a competition committee meeting. There's coaches, there's players, GMs, ex-players, and I thought it was a little too much. This is probably 6 years ago, and there was an owner said, listen, I got 18,000 people in my building. They all have an iPhone, and they all get their replay. So if you don't use it, like they're... So he said that's just the product of today's environment and technology. So that to me made a lot of sense. Get it right. Everyone's going to see it anyway.
Yeah.
Is it too much? No, I don't. Like, when's the last time we really had a replay like for us? Now we've had game 50, right?
Yeah. So,
not much. They kicked in goals. They check like Chicago has asked, but those are league reviews, so they're looking at it. As the team's celebrating, as it kicked in, like the Bertuzzi he does a lot of that, angles his stick. There was one called back the other night in the league. I was watching a highlight. It was, who was it? It was Buffalo was playing the other night against somebody, and he kicked one in.
Yeah.
You don't see it much anymore.
No, you don't see it. If you can direct, guys are pretty smart.
Yeah, they're pretty good. You're allowed to redirect. So I like that rule change. In fact, I would take the rule out if it was up to me about kicking a puck in. I think there was a danger issue probably of kicking it.
Yeah,
but
if you kicked
it. Really, who really kicks it? It happens so infrequently, and you're not really kicking in the air. Your blade is on the ice the whole time
sliding
kicking a puck. So I think that any puck that goes in the net, it's so hard to score. Goalies probably disagree with me on this one. Even sometimes those batted pucks, not catching with your hand, but one that goes off your hand, sometimes they won't count. And the guy's clearly not trying to. I think some of those would be good. But the replay in general, less and less offside challenges, it seems like. They're getting those right. There's so much good technology. You can slow it down. I still think, the technology, if they get it frame by frame to the point, then you'd hardly see any because you could slow it down so much that you would see those little things. But even the flips over the glass, they talked about that might be something you could challenge. Yeah. I haven't seen one. We haven't been involved in one for or against us. So the goalie interference, that'll always be there. It's a good rule. subjective, so that one it's hit or miss, but so that those are always going to happen.
Yeah. Well, the last one I have for you is just because it is coming up, and I don't want to talk with the fans about it. Four Nations, how much, when do you start diving into that? I know you got the task at hand right now with the Golden Knights, but is that just kind of on the side?
Yeah, we've had a number of meetings. I talked to John Cooper yesterday about some power play stuff. So we actually talked to Mitch Marner. He had an off day. Oh. Just we were trying to, you know, sort through some positions. We have a good idea of our areas, each assistant coach. I met with Pete DeBoer the other day in Dallas about some stuff. So we have kept in touch, do a Zoom about every 10 days. Okay. All the coaches, been doing that for about a month. So there's work. Nice. It's on your time. But there is stuff that's being put together so that when we get there, it's not, you know, we're a little bit ahead of it. The tough part, we know all the players that we're playing against, the Swedish players, the Finnish players, obviously the American players, but we don't know their coaches as well, right? Sully's coach, Mike Sullivan's coaching, so we know him from Pittsburgh. They're going to know Coop's tendencies from Tampa. The European coaches, the Swedish and the Finnish coaches, we don't know as well. So that's something we'll have to try to get some data on or information to see how they're playing and how they're killing penalties or maybe. So that'll be a little bit of work. Once we get there, and even some of that's available now from previous tournaments. But that's one you might have to learn on the fly a little bit just because of, you know, there hasn't been games between those two countries in a while.
Last one I had for you, Bruce, VGK related, is you've got Dallas in here tomorrow, Columbus on Thursday, then you go east for the Final Four before the tournament. How do you try to now, you know, the old step forward, step back a little bit? How do you avoid that tomorrow and try to build a little momentum, I guess, if you can?
Well, they're a good team, Dallas. So this was a stretch we knew we had a little heavier schedule than maybe we would late December-ish or right after Christmas. It's St. Louis fighting, playing better, fighting for a spot. You got Columbus that's, I think, in a playoff spot around the corner. So the Dallas game is good for us. We'll be up for it. They'll be up for it. We're developing a little bit of a rivalry. You can see in games they're more intense. So we just want to keep playing well. You're going to go through stretches, I believe, in this league. When you have 82 games, you're going to play well and not get points, and you're going to play so-so and find a way to win. And you're going to go through both. And I didn't think we played that poorly in this stretch. I really don't. I think it was a play or two. I can go right through the Ranger game was 2-1. I mean, it could have went either way. They score in the third. St. Louis is a shootout. Dallas is a one-goal game. St. Louis, I thought we outplayed them, but it still ends up being a one-goal game almost to the end. There's a lot of that going on right now, and we just got to be on the right side of it. So that will be the focus here now going forward. And I think it was yesterday. We kind of said, listen, it's, you know, we have to start making the plays that make the difference in the game. And we got through the first 5 minutes, got the big saves we needed, and I thought we were the better team. I mean, you guys watch it from up there over the course of 55 minutes and, you know, end up with the 2 points. So that's a little bit on us to make sure that in those moments we get through them. And we did in the first period. 5 minutes didn't turn into 15 or 10 where we dug ourselves a hole.
Bruce, thanks for this, as always, on your day off here. Well, I guess not a total day off. You're at the rink, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, we didn't practice. Give the guys a little breather, recharge the bats, turn their hockey brain off for a day, and away we go.
Perfect. Awesome. Thanks again for everything. Appreciate
it. All right.
Fellas,
thanks for
Bruce Cassidy joining us, head coach of the Golden Knights. They'll be back at it tomorrow against the Dallas Stars here at T-Mobile Arena. We'll step aside. Lots more to come. KTN on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
KTN rolls on. We have a prop chain. Well, on the radio, it's not going
to
do anything for you.
Looks like a T-shirt.
It is a T-shirt. It's also called a prop. And so on the social media situation, you see this here? This is coming up on Thursday. Yep. Columbus Blue Jackets here at T-Mobile Arena, and the VGK will celebrate Asian American and Native Hawaiian / Pacific Islander heritage at T-Mobile Arena when the team hosts the Blue Jackets. 7 o'clock face-off. Make sure to head to the Arsenal at CNA. Get dressed up for the occasion for this big celebration. You can check it out at VGK Gear on Instagram and X for all the latest updates and deals on all Golden Knights paraphernalia. Make sure you're ready to go, but when you cheer on the VGK. But this is the T-shirt right here, and that's a good looking. Yeah, it's too bad. This is a small. I'm a medium. I would borrow this or take it. But
anyway, I'm sure you'll get one.
Coming up on Thursday, we will celebrate at T-Mobile Arena Asian American and Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander heritage at T-Mobile. So there you go. fold this back up properly. My OCD.
I was going to say, don't ruin that.
Okay, it goes over there now. It's great to have the coach on, and
he's so good.
He's great. You know, I always say this, Shane, and we've been at this a long, long, long time. That if you sit in a Bruce Cassidy press conference or listen to one, and you don't learn something, that is on you. And last night, and you asked him the question about with Stone.
And I thought it was just to balance the line. No. But again, it was him. And Ronberg, who played really well. And Howden said they're fresher guys. Move Stone there, responsible line to match up against that top line of Barkov. So, that's why he's coaching and we are not. We can't even bring up a Google Doc. No. That's why we have to get
somebody
else's computer.
So we've got a third laptop if you're watching on the social medias. So I've got mine, Shane's got his, and Amber, one of our grad assistants, she says, well, log into your Google for the Q. We got some Q&A here from the fans. So this is a true story. Both of us could not sign in because we don't have a Google situation. I sent you the link. So we go on. You need this social security number, bank account information.
I'm not sure. People to respond about your wording.
So anyway, we've got Amber's laptop right here in the middle of the screen. We're going to go through some of these questions. That's it right there. It's a quality item. So there you go. Thank you for letting us borrow this here. We'll go on and get your bank account info here momentarily. So we're going to pick through a couple of these questions, Shane, and then we'll get to other stuff we were talking about. So Duff from Southampton in the UK.
Wow.
Wow, what's the time is it over there? Are they plus 8 maybe this time? It's like 8:30 at night over there. Wants to know, do you think the current bad spell was due to the amount of games in January? Well,
I think part of it maybe plays a factor, but that's something every team deals with. And we heard Bruce Cassidy say they kind of knew this stretch was coming. You can know it's coming. You still want to be successful in it. And I think it's hard to gauge. There's certainly when you get your schedule, every team gets a schedule, and they look through it with management, with coaches. And I'm sure, they kind of look ahead and say, oh, this is going to be a tough stretch here. This is going to be a tough stretch here. But you don't look at that tough stretch and say it's going to be okay if we go in a slide here. No, they still want to win every game possible. But I think it's had a determining factor, and we talked about it earlier. I think the whole month, just the league, the play of all teams. So when you talk about that, I think it's the teams that can minimize their mistakes less.
Yeah.
At this point, that's where you hear the term puck management. You hear that don't extend those bad stretches of giving up one to being two or three goals. And, that's been kind of the things that have hurt Vegas.
So there you go. And this month, it's funny, they started off, they won the first three games, and then it went the other way. And then, as Bruce Cassidy said, a good win last night. They minimized, the first 5 minutes, they were able to get through that. And it's easy, I think, to, like, if they fall behind in the first 5 minutes, there could be a little bit of, here we go again.
Yeah.
They didn't. Aiden Hill was excellent. Shouldn't be forgotten. They made a push. Florida did at the end of the first, right?
They did.
They had some good chances late. I got my
early and late.
Early and late, I have my game sheet here, which nobody could read.
No,
nobody in the world could read these hieroglyphics. But I wrote down at the end of the first period, Bennett, Schmidt, and Greer, all with really good chances for Florida that Aiden Hill made saves at. We'll get to one other question. We're going to kind of sprinkle them in throughout the show. Sarah on the Facebook wants to know, what are you most excited about? This would have been for Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
to coach the Four Nations. I don't know. We should have asked them that. It would have been nice if we had your laptop, Amber, in front of us when the coach was here, but that's okay. I would think for him, it would be the opportunity. You've got some of the best players in four countries. But what's interesting, and I would not have thought of this. All right, so John Cooper's coaching the Canadian team. Mike Sullivan's coaching the U.S. Well-established, very successful coaches in the NHL. Yeah. Finland and Sweden.
They don't know the coaching staffs. And they're kind of, like you said, their tendencies. And I think, for Bruce, what would he like? And I think it's the same for players. When you go to an elite tournament like this, I think it's the opportunity to learn, right? You can pick up nuggets here and there. If you're a player watching somebody, if you're a coach, I think it's beneficial for everybody involved.
Nighty Night, 23 on Twitch, wants to know, what is an unexpected perk of living in Vegas?
Unexpected perk?
I don't know if it's only one.
For me, it's no shoveling.
I don't own a shovel.
I don't own a shovel, and you don't really need an umbrella.
No.
So those two items
Again, the unexpected part, the weather's been. And I think you knew Vegas always has great weather.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure about and I guess people would disagree that do sit in some traffic every day.
Yeah.
There's no, my opinion, there's
that's
no
good
real,
yeah, coming
no
Boston,
real traffic, was, yeah. which is just a disaster.
Well,
on
right
a daily
now,
basis.
I could, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
changed a little bit.
It's
but
getting
still,
busier,
still
and some of the, I understand, some of the construction, 215, spaghetti boy, but day to day.
Do one more?
You never know. Yes, Sammy Fan on X. How do you feel about the defense performance over the course, defense men performance over the course of the month of January so far?
Well, and this is, to me, this is tricky. And maybe it's a player in me as a former defenseman. So certainly, yeah, their defensive structure hasn't been as good as it was earlier, right? And we heard Bruce Cassidy talked about they needed to clean up the area in front of their net. That's defensemen, but they defend in group of five. And a goaltender if you want to throw six. So to me, this doesn't fall on anybody. Can they be better? Yes, just like the whole group, just like from the goaltender to the defenseman to the forwards, as a team, they could be better here in the month of January, and that's why their record is where it's at, and that happens. It's very common. It happens to every team. So I just think, yeah, the month of January, overall, their defensive structure could be better, and I think it looked a lot better against the Florida Panthers, and hopefully that's a sign, because for the majority of the season, it has been really good.
The nine games, that stretch, this most recent one where they dropped 7 of 9, they allowed at least 4 on 5 different occasions, and that's just not how the team is built. It's not how any team's built, but I'll go back to a chain from Bruce Cassidy's first day of training camp year one here. And we watched it right outside these windows. Went from the D zone to the neutral zone to the offensive zone, and just spent time. And this is how we play. This
well, and then structure. That 6 week stretch, they were the best defensive team, right? So. And back to what we said, it's not sustainable. There's going to be periods of a season where it falls the other way, and that's unfortunately what's happened here in bit of January. But hopefully the turnaround started yesterday.
All right, we'll get to more of your questions as we roll along. Before that, we will step aside. A quick reminder for you, Golden Knights fans, if you want more Golden Knights content, be sure to head over to the Vegas Golden Knights YouTube channel right now and subscribe. You can watch All Access Player videos, game highlights, and even our special VGK Origins as well. Subscribe to our channel today. Stay up to date on all things VGK and revisit some of the greatest moments in Golden Knights history. Dave and Shane with you on KTAN on Monday. Lots more to come. Of course, a big trade in the NHL over the weekend between Colorado, Carolina, and Chicago. We'll get to that, and we'll kind of take a peek ahead here at the next couple of games for the Golden Knights at T-Mobile Arena. That's after this on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Great to have you with us here on Nighttime at Noon. Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty with you, and a reminder for you that part of the Foley Entertainment Group, AFC Bournemouth, is continuing their record-breaking season. Going to take on Liverpool, who sits at the top of the Premier League this Saturday, 7 a.m. Pacific. Show your support for the Cherries by watching matches via stream on NBC's Premier League coverage, or you can stream it on Peacock. Make sure to also visit the Arsenal at City National Arena to pick up some Bournemouth gear. To learn more, head to afcb.co.uk. Up the Cherries. I will tell you, Shane, that I've never been to a Premier League match. It would, and certainly I'd love to go see Bournemouth play. Our schedule gets in the way. our jobs get in the way.
Our jobs.
But, man, if there was ever an opportunity.
I would love to, yeah.
It's just the atmosphere. And, again, full disclosure, I don't know a lot about it. I know Liverpool's a powerhouse, but I know Bournemouth has really had a great year from everyone we talked to kind of around us that follows it. So, yeah, that would be on the bucket list of go over there and see the Cherries play.
Well, you got Premier a couple League. Weeks coming off here for the Four Nations.
But I think I'm busy. Oh. Doing something else. But yeah, anyway, so up the Cherries and good luck. It's a huge match against Liverpool coming up on Saturday. The Golden Knights, as we said, they've got 6 to go before the aforementioned Four Nations tournament and the break. League shut. down for a couple of weeks. And Columbus here Thursday, before that Dallas tomorrow night. Dallas is an ESPN situation. So you can, however you want to watch it, turn down your TV, turn up the radio, then listen to Dan and Gary on the radio and try and sync
it up.
We
have a pregame show.
Pregame show. Who's doing that?
Ashley and I.
Oh, God. Okay. So you guys are doing the pregame. That's on Vegas 34.
Yep.
So you guys will take care of that. And then the game against the Dallas Stars, and then Columbus is here. You mentioned earlier, Shane, it's beyond belief what they went through as an organization. Obviously, what the Gaudreaus went through as a family, which we think about daily. The team, it is the story in the NHL this year.
Really is.
They're even in the mix.
1 point behind Ottawa.
Yeah. And, yep, 1 point out.
Senators just passed them yesterday with that win to, to climb in a third and they'd
And tied points-wise with Tampa for that second wild card spot right now. So, and on a great run at 7-2-1. They've been awesome at home. I know the game's here on Thursday, but the Golden Knights will be there in March. Most of their wins, 17 of their 24, have come on home ice for Columbus. But their ability to be able to try to push forward as best they can has been just great to see. And so they'll be here Thursday, Dallas here tomorrow night, and then that trip out east. And, you know, it's interesting, we're talking with Bruce about, look, I always try to remember this. These games are played by human beings.
Yes.
Human nature being what it is. I think they know they're a good team. The Golden Knights are talking about.
Oh, they're a confident group.
They're a confident group.
They should be.
They've built up a heck of a cushion. They've gone through this bit of a lull. The guys that are not going to the Four Nations, and right now it's down to six with Petrangelo not going to go with Canada. We'll see about William Karlsson with Sweden. Not sure about that. Could be down to five. Everybody else. That's a nice break ahead for them, right?
Mentally and physically, right?
Whether I would think
break,
somewhere.
Step away.
Yeah. So, but they're also a team that's pretty focused in terms of, you know, getting done what they need to get done from a, you know, from a jobs, a business standpoint here. So hopefully they're able to do that. The Golden Knights, the NHL is doing this quarter century team situation. And the Vegas one was released not long ago. Just over the last couple of days. So so we all got a chance, we meaning broadcasters, were asked to vote. I would imagine all the broadcasters for the teams around the league were asked to vote. Here's your Golden Knights quarter century team, first team, and my opinion anyways, hard to argue with any of these choices.
No.
So you get three forwards, two D, and a goaltender. Jack Eichel up front with William Karlsson and Mark Stone, Alex Petrangelo, Shea Theodore on defense, Aiden Hill in net.
It's a pretty good group.
Pretty darn good group, to say the least. You know, Jack Eichel, who led the league in playoff scoring when they won the Cup a couple of years ago. William Karlsson has been awesome for this team, and that's the one thing that, you know, it's such a significant piece of this team going forward here. We'll see how long William Karlsson's out, but it's week to week. But just kind of slots everyone in their proper spots, right? Mark Stone, you know, kind of the heart and soul of what they do. Alex Petrangelo was one of the biggest moves. If you looked at, you know, Jack Eichel and Alex Petrangelo, one free agent, and Petrangelo won a trade in Eichel to give them a legitimate number one defenseman. Shea Theodore has been terrific for this team since the beginning, and Aiden Hill led them to a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, they're all makes sense on all those selections right there. And, and you said quarter century. We've only had eight years or seven.
Not
and
25.
Half. to pick this team, so are the two teams involved.
Second team up front, Jonathan Marchessault, Riley Smith, Chandler Stephenson, all, especially Marchessault and Smith, you know, the misfits, two of the originals. Marchessault, the Conn Smythe winner a couple of years ago. On the back end, Alec Martinez, you know, you think about just a championship pedigree, right, when he came over from the L.A. Kings and added the third cup of the Golden Knights, Braden McNabb. We know what he's meant.
How good was he last night?
Yeah, he was phenomenal. Huge hit on Reinhardt, opened the scoring as well, and Marc-Andre Fleury in net. We all know how much he meant to this organization and fan base. So, you know, interesting, though, that – and you kind of hit it on the head, Shane. This is a team that's been together seven and a half years. That's a pretty. That's one hell of a first and second team.
You would not be able to. And it'd be interesting to go back and look at any team in their first 7 years if you could make selections like this.
You played in Atlanta.
I highly doubt it.
You played in Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Could they?
Oh, they could there because they had some high end talent, but it didn't come till later.
Yeah.
But yeah, you had the Hossas, the Kovalchuk.
I mean. Keith Tkachuk played
very briefly. Mark Savard played there briefly. Yeah. I guess they had a lot of guys briefly play and kind of come through. I don't know if you could find a goalie.
I was just going to ask you who would be the goalie.
Kari Lettinen.
Kari Lettinen, yeah.
Probably would be the guy.
It's not Hill or Fleury.
And then they didn't really have any big-name defensemen.
Outside of you. Good point.
Or they'd all fall in line. Yeah. It would be a lot. Exactly. You wouldn't be able to.
No.
It'd be tough.
I mean, well, obviously, with the success, I mean, it's off the charts what they've done here for 7.5 years. So the biggest trade so far this season just happened, right? Between Colorado, Carolina, and Chicago. You know, Mikko Rantanen, talk about a, you know, it's been a hallmark of that team in Denver here for so many years. Riding shotgun most of it with Nathan MacKinnon. And he gets moved in just a, I don't know if it's a stunning deal to people that, you know, you keep an eye on it, but like, they didn't think they were able to get to the number he was going to want. And they, I don't know if they got out ahead of it. Who knows? I mean, there was talk of other.
Well, Rantanen has came out as early, I think, this morning, as saying he was willing to take a discount or a hometown. And that's why he was so shocked. But these are the tough decisions that are made. And you talk about Rantanen and MacKinnon. I think that's the deal. There's only other comparable right now. You know, you had Kucherov and Stamkos. Maybe you could use Kucherov and Point. But elite is Draisaitl and McDavid.
Right.
And I think MacKinnon and Rantanen are the only was the only other duo that you could compare in kind of that same bracket.
Bruce Cassidy was asked about it yesterday in his media availability, and you know, there's always the thought of whatever team got the best player wins the trade. Well, I mean, I think Mikko Rantanen of that group, no disrespect, is one hell of a player to go to Carolina. And if you're Colorado, though, you've got a younger player in Marty Natchez.
Who was leading right up there behind MacKinnon to start the year in points.
So, you know, Chicago moved out from Taylor Hall.
Yep.
So what they weren't, you know, but in terms of the marquee, you know, to have Rantanen be traded, unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. That was kind of the hitch. They didn't, you know, he says one thing, they say another, but an in-season trade like that,
it's rare.
You see trades like that a lot in the off-season.
Yeah,
you know, we were talking with Bruce Cassidy, just some of the broadcasters yesterday morning down outside the locker room here at CNA, and he brought up the Joe Thornton trade when Boston traded Joe Thornton in season. You know, I was
and he won
still
the Hart
there.
That year.
He won the Hart that year. I think it's the only time that's ever happened
where you've traded the Hart-winning trophy.
Yeah, they ended up winning the Hart, but and I wish that was a long time ago. I was still there, and you know, they got Marco Sturm, Brad Stewart, and Wayne Primeau in return.
Yeah.
But you know, they traded Joe Thornton, so a lot of those bigger. You know, a lot of, they'll happen in the off season.
Yeah.
It seems more, but not this one. And you know, for a Carolina team that the Golden Knights just saw, and a pretty good team that's
good
had
team.
A good run this season, Colorado, they've been kind of, you know, they've been kind of in and out. You know, right now they're the first wild card team.
2 points back of Minnesota.
2 points back of Minnesota. So
it's going to be a race to the end.
Yeah.
And that's what intrigues. The East it's wide open for the majority of other maybe three teams. But here in the West, there's a fight. That's why, you know, points are so important. The Golden Knights, they were at the top so long. They jumped back over Edmonton after losing that position. And, you know, every game is so big. Edmonton hosts Seattle tonight, I believe. So they'll take the other. It could be, you know, that back and forth here, and the Kings have had a terrific season as well.
All right, we're going to step aside.
That's
we're going
a good
to come
idea.
Back. We're going to take some more of your questions, take a peek. You mentioned the East. It's crazy what's going on in the East. I mean, the Ottawa Senators have made a push. Seems like pretty much, you know, Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Buffalo's really the only one that's out of it, right?
Yeah.
But we're going to touch on that, take some more of your questions, and wrap things up here as well on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
All right, we got a few minutes to go here on Nighttime at Noon with Dave and Shane. And for Golden Knights fans, be sure to watch the VGK this season. You can do it on Nighttime Plus. Download the Nighttime Plus app today, and on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, or TV to watch the Golden Knights live. Nighttime Plus delivers all locally televised games that are on Scripps Sports, as well as bonus content created throughout the season. Download and subscribe now, and tune in all season long, as you can be sure to get the Nighttime Plus app. And great stuff. Say great content on there in addition to All the Golden Knights games that are televised locally on Scripps Sports. We were joking around yesterday, Shane, it was the Scripps Bowl because the Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers are proudly televised on Scripps Sports. And the Golden Knights won the Scripps Bowl yesterday.
Amber, thanks.
Thank you for everything you do here. Your screen times out after 8 seconds. Okay, here we go. Questions to wrap this up. Yeah. By the way, the East, there's a lot still to be decided.
It'll look a little clearer after this push to the Four Nations break and coming out of that. Be a little clearer.
Gila Monster Hockey on Twitch. What did Dave and Shane do during many of the flights throughout the season? I imagine them throwing peanuts at Ashley and Gary and Dan and others. We watch shows. We watch a lot of shows.
Like an in-house question that's from someone we know.
Inquiring minds.
We do. Ashley talks to whoever's beside
her. Whoever will listen to her.
They sit behind us. Right. A lot of chatting. And then Gary. Yep. Gary's on his phone.
Yep.
It's amazing. His phone's like a Swiss Army knife. It does everything.
It does.
Yep. He never leaves his hand. It's glued to his hand. He watches movies on it. It's like an additional appendage. Yeah, it's amazing. I think it's a super advanced phone with the amount he hangs on.
I don't know. It's like an iPhone 26. So anyway, we watch shows.
We watch movies.
We just did.
But Dave can't afford his own, so he watches online.
It's free. Price is right. We just watched two seasons of Landman?
Yeah.
And we're down to
one.
One.
And now we're watching the Yellowstone.
Final episode and a half of Yellowstone. That'll get knocked out on this trip east, for say the least. But don't ruin it. I don't know. We don't know how it turns out. Tony on the Facebook. Favorite city to travel to for a road trip? We were just in Nashville.
Nashville's good. I like Florida, Tampa.
Tampa and Fort Lauderdale is always good.
It's always good. I enjoy the New York because we're in one spot, so you kind of get a little bit more.
Yeah, you're able to set up shop. And so what else we got here? Zoe on YouTube wants to know, who's your favorite musical artist?
Oh,
Double Minor. My band.
Never heard.
Well, I'm easy. The Beatles and Bruce. Everyone gets in line after them. I don't know. Who do you like?
I like everyone. I don't know if I have a favorite. I'm more country now.
I would say Luke Combs
is probably my top guy right now.
I love Luke. I love Chris Stapleton.
Stapleton is
great.
Just Luke's there now.
What's your favorite? This is from Joey Loves Nights on X. What is your favorite go-to pregame meal?
Pre-game meal for us
depends where we're at.
Depends what. I'll say this: we eat more Starbucks egg bites on the road than anything, or the spinach feta.
The spinach feta wrap and egg bites.
A lot of Starbucks is our go-to, like after morning skate. Then our media meals, whatever arena we're at. The best ones in Detroit, then Dallas.
Tampa's pretty good usually.
Pretty good.
You know what's? And if there is a Chipotle in the vicinity,
oh yes.
We'll stroll over there. So that's our favorite pregame.
They're kicking us off.
Yeah, that's it. I think
the thing that makes me mad about Starbucks, I'm just going to say this. We go in there to get our order people doing jobs. We've got all these young people in our staff that go there. They pre-order and just pick their stuff up.
Someone named Ashley who's sitting over here off camera. She's walks
drives
in.
Me nuts.
So we're in a line of 10 people. Yeah. She just walks in. I got it. Yep. Here's the last question for us. Love VGK104 on X. Who's your pick to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I was going to say the Eagles, but I realized the last time these two teams met in the Super Bowl, Golden Knights won, and so did the Chiefs, so I'm going to have to say
the
Chiefs.
There you go. I was pulling for the Bills, and the fix was in yesterday.
For pretty much anyone but these two teams.
I know. So, yeah, I'll go with the Chiefs for that reason, that it meant good things for the Golden Knights a couple of years ago, too. So, thanks for joining us. Thanks for everyone behind the scenes on nighttime at noon. Join Shane and Ashley for the pregame show on TV tomorrow night.